Good morning, church. Austin, thank you. Thank you for embodying authentic relationship. Thank you for authenticity. Thanks for sharing this morning. Church, it is a gift to be with you. It just is. It's amazing that you decided to be here today, and it matters that you're here. Like, we would not be the same community, the same church, if you were not here. Like, you specifically, it matters that you're here this morning. You know, we've been walking through this series on the path of the disciple, right? We're trying to figure out, what does it look like to learn and to live the discipleship pathway, right? This thing designed to lay a foundation in each of us for a lifestyle of worship, community, and mission. Well, why? Because a disciple of Jesus embodies a lifestyle of worship, community, and mission. And we want to be disciples, and we want to make disciples of who, right? Like, are we multiplying my life? No. We're multiplying your life? Rick Keith's life? No, I mean, wait, how about this? Are we just multiplying the lives of leaders? Just the leaders multiply their lives. The rest of you is probably best if it's just one of you. Right? How horrible is that? Whose life are we trying to multiply? Jesus, thank you, Sunday school answer. Jesus died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. But those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. We want to multiply the life of Christ. Christ alive in us is vibrant. Christ alive in others is reproducing. Let's look at the content of the discipleship pathway. Look at this. You see on the left side, you have these three lifestyles that we see in the life of Jesus: worship, community, and mission. And each lifestyle breaks down into two habits to kind of flesh out, well, what does that look like? And then each habit breaks down into two ongoing actions to help us answer the question, well, how do I do that? How do I get engaged in that? Right? And the idea is, with these ongoing actions, is it's something simple enough you could do it at any given moment, any given day, but it's also something you don't just one and done. You're not just done with it. It's something that you do throughout your life. You learn and live it, because ongoing actions form habits, and the habits we emphasize become our way of life. But what's the aim of all that? It's the character of Christ in us, that we would become like Jesus. Now, this is the what of the discipleship pathway. I need to remind you of something. I say this a lot, and I'm going to just keep saying it, even though it sounds awkward every time, is that the what of a disciple doth not a disciple maketh. It simply doesn't. Right? This isn't just something you just take and you just go off on your own and figure it out. Right? We have to remember the how of a disciple. That's what we talked about in the first part of this series. If you haven't listened to that, please go back and listen to that 7 or 8 times. And the how, it's very simple. It's the H-O-W, right? It's we hear from God, obey God with others. Hear from God, obey God with others. That's the H-O-W. That's the how. Can you just say it with me real quick? Hear from God, obey God with others. One more time. Hear from God, obey God with others. Why? Because if we aren't hearing from God, we can't follow him. If we don't obey God, we're not following. And if we're not doing with others, then there's no witness. There's no one to see us and for us to see, to learn and sharpen each other and spread the life of Christ. So they're essential. So the idea is that this would get in us, this content would get in us, and then we'd go about our day and we'd be able to engage the how, to say, God, how are you getting my attention in the areas of worship, community, and mission? That goes with the hear from God. How are you getting my attention in the areas of worship, community, and mission? And when we begin to hear from him, then the question we ask ourselves with obey is, how am I going to respond? And then once we begin to get, here's something I can just do today, something I can take a step of faith in today, then the question with others is, how can I include others in the step of faith? That's the how. We have to keep coming back to that, remembering that. Today we're stepping deeper into the community lifestyle. And as we press into that, I want to believe that God is going to speak to us. So we're going to engage the how this morning together as a church. I'm super excited about that. Let's begin with some prayer. Father, I believe that you speak to your people. You speak through your word. Creation pours forth speech. You speak through the created order. You speak through the presence of your Holy Spirit in us. You speak through your church. And the use of spiritual gifts with one another. Lord, I pray that this morning we would hear from you. Give us the grace to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. As followers of Jesus, we build one another up in love. Last week, we talked about communities living committed. And that first habit is we live life with the local church, right? And that can be hard, but we live life with the local church. You heard that in Austin Slice. And then you also heard about building one another up in love. It's not a perfect analogy, but I think of it like a marriage, right? So if a Christian is not a part of a church, not living life with a local church, it's like that marriage that ends in divorce where, man, there's just this was broken up and it shouldn't have been broken up kind of thing. But to live life with a local church and not be building one another up in love, that's like that marriage where people decide to stay together, but the love has grown cold. Maybe there's that undercurrent of things that we know we should talk about, we just can't because it's too uncomfortable. Or maybe it's that conflict that started small, but it's been there for so long, and we never resolved it, and so it's just the love has grown cold. But we want more than that as the church. We don't want the just tedious getting by, the sort of sunless, woeful dreariness of, well, I guess I'm going to be a part of the church again because I have to. We want life. We want color and flavor. We want excitement. We want vibrancy. We want fullness of passion and life where everyone here is here for a reason. Amen? Jesus in John chapter 13, he says to his disciples, another command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. By this the world will know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another. So how's the world going to know that we are Jesus' disciples? By our? Okay, he's going to know by our? They're going to know that we're disciples of Jesus because of our love for one another. I received an anonymous package in the mail this week. No return address. I was a little afraid to open it. I was like, did I offend anyone recently? Okay. All right. So I opened it up. No note within it, but I received the new Switchfoot CD called Native Tongue. Yes, Native Tongue. And I listened to the CD in full the first day. And almost every song has the word love in it. And the whole idea behind Native Tongue is that this is the native language of God and of the people of God. Love is the native tongue. But there's also this just honest moment about halfway through the album, there's a song, the lyric is, man, love is the hardest art to learn. Love is the hardest art to learn. Gosh, that is so true. It is hard to know what love looks like, sounds like, feels like, what love does. And so we're going to ask God just today, maybe not for all time, we're not going to set up for everything right now, but just for today, we want to ask God to speak to us and expect that we can hear his voice. And we want him to teach us what love looks like today. And maybe even this week. And so I'm going to do something that I haven't quite done before. We're going to have some scripture on the screen. I'm going to read through an entire chapter of Ephesians. And this is just Paul talking to the church at Ephesus, but also the surrounding churches. They're meant to share this letter. So this is for the church. This is God's word. God is speaking. And if you want to read along, you can. If you want to just close your eyes and listen, you can do that as well. Whatever helps you focus. But settle in and pay attention. What's highlighted for you as you hear these words? Is something cutting you to the heart? Is something convicting you or stirring you or stirring some emotion in you, good, bad, or ugly? Is something just feel highlighted, you feel drawn to it, it's encouraging to you. Well, what sticks out? And if something just feels highlighted, just scribble it down. Because God speaks to you, and we're going to assume that he speaks, and I want you to expect that he's going to speak because God speaks through his word. And so I'm going to read it and listen and write down what's highlighted for you. Are you ready to hear from the Lord?
Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. With the Lord's authority, I say this: live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Just take a second just to write down something that God used to get your attention. I don't know what it is. Lord, what are you saying to us? Is it bearing with one another in love? Forgiving as you forgave? Maybe it's stop telling lies. Maybe it's speak the truth in love. Maybe it's let everything you say be good and helpful. Maybe it's baptism. Maybe it's one Lord. Thanks for speaking to us. Amen. building one another up in love means we help each other as individuals in our community look and sound and act more like Jesus. So continuing with what God is already speaking to us, let me just pull two strands out of this chapter 4 of Ephesians. The first is this: how do we build one another up in love? We say or do something to serve a brother or sister in Christ. Sounds so simple, right? Say or do something to serve a brother or sister in Christ. All right, well, what does that look like? Well, sometimes that's just thoughtfulness, right? I like to think of that thoughtfulness as sort of the grease that takes the squeak out of life. Maybe it's that person, right? It's just noticing that there's someone trying to get in the door, but their hands are full and they're having a hard time, right? Or maybe they left their keys, their car keys, or their water bottle by their seat, and that's going to cause them problems later, but you see it and you can run and say, hey, you forgot this. Maybe there's someone's trying to lift something heavy or trying to carry a bunch of stuff to load up their car, and they just need some extra hands. Maybe someone's looking around anxiously like they need some information. Maybe someone's looking sad and they need someone to come up to them and just genuinely ask, how are you, and mean it. But these are the rusty little moments, right, that they can become something that's hindering us, frustrating us in life. But what if we were people who looked around and we saw others and we rushed to meet need, to say or do something to serve a brother or sister in Christ? It's revolutionary. It's so small and so beautiful. But saying or doing something to serve a brother or sister in Christ is not just about thoughtfulness. It is also about spiritual power. To each of us has been given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead was sent by Jesus to dwell in you personally and to give you spiritual power, gifts that you use uniquely and specifically to build up the church in love and to help the people around you look more like Jesus. Don't you dare bury that in the ground. Don't wait on the person with the mic or the leader people to do that. When you come to church, someone needs you to say or do something to serve them and help them know who Jesus is. Someone needs you to come ready to speak words of life and love, to serve with deeds that communicate value and meaning. It matters that you're here. And think of what Scripture says. I mean, teaching and leading faith, miracles, healing, prophecy, wisdom, knowledge, exhortation and encouragement, mercy, generosity. I mean, these are the kinds of things God has given in abundance to his church, and he gives them because he wants us to invest them, to risk building up the church in love. What are your gifts? I long to see them unleashed in our midst. But let's say we're thoughtful. We see needs and we help meet them. We're even thoughtful beyond our proximity, right? Hey, I heard you had a job interview. How did that go? Hey, I was thinking about our conversation the other day and I wanted to share this verse with you. I mean, that kind of thoughtfulness. And then maybe we're using our gifts to build one another up in love, and there's a vibrancy happening in our church. Just so you know, as I mentioned last week, we will still, getting to know each other, hurt each other, right? Even a vibrant church we're going to hurt each other. And so we need something else to bring us back from oblivion when we do that. So we don't just say or do something to serve a brother and sister in Christ. We also forgive and apologize to resolve a conflict and live at peace. That's what the church does. That's what followers of Jesus do. Real forgiveness is the unique offering of the people of God, and it is the cornerstone of unconditional love. It is the elixir of life to a relationship. I can't tell you how many times I meet a young couple, or maybe a young married couple, to bring it back to marriage again, where someone will think a lack of conflict is a sign of health and maturity in the relationship. And I just want to say, most of the time it's not. A lack of conflict, most of the time, simply signifies immaturity in a relationship, sometimes even codependency. Codependency, one person has no sense of self and gets subsumed, just consumed into the other person. And so since there's not two people, there's no conflict. But if you take a secure person
who knows their wants and needs and desires and fears and hopes, and another secure person who knows those things about himself, and you put them together, you will have conflict. But what makes someone mature isn't that they don't have conflict, it's that when they do, they respond differently. Right? As we are downstream from worship, right? Communities downstream from worship. So as we're remaining in the gospel, confessing our own sin, aware of our own sin, repenting, accepting grace from God, then we are enabled by that grace then to confess and repent of our sin to others. It's not the end of the world when we hurt someone. We can feel hurt by that. We can be sad about that. We can grieve that. But we don't need to feel ashamed by it. So we can confess and repent, and then we can receive grace too. We can receive forgiveness, and we can offer forgiveness because we know Jesus forgave us. And so we can forgive others. We know Jesus already did the work to forgive that person. Help me to forgive that person. When we rest in the security of the love of Christ, then we can be honest and honorable. We don't sacrifice one on the altar of the other. We can be humble and confident, unashamed. We can embody both grace and truth. And then we will be equally as ready to forgive and apologize. And maybe you're out there today and you're like, look, I'm living life with the local church, but I'm just not ready to build anyone else in love. I can't afford to build anyone else in love right now. I got too much going on. I can't afford to do that. And I just want to ask you if you looked at your account lately. I just want to remind you what's in your account. I want to share truths of the gospel with you because I feel that way too sometimes. Jesus came to a loveless world. And he came not to be served, but to serve. And he got down on his knees to wash our feet, the feet of those who would betray and deny and leave him in his time of need. And he took our debt of sin, every careless word, every selfish action, and he nailed it to the cross, paid in full. It is finished. But in case that wasn't enough, he adopted us as his own kids. He was raised to life on the third day, ascended to the right hand of God, and sent the very presence of God and the Holy Spirit to indwell each of us individually and as a community. And that Spirit cries out, Abba, Father. Because we know who our dad is now. We know that we're brothers and sisters now. And you don't get a place in God's family without spiritual power and a mission and a calling. And that's who you are now. That's your identity. That's your purpose. That's your calling. And as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. For there is one Lord and one faith, just as you are called to one hope when you're called. One God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. May he be forever praised. Let's pray. Father, what are you doing in our midst today? Something is different. And I don't know what it is, and I just believe that you're speaking. God, whatever we've scribbled down, whatever's highlighted, change that belief that maybe this was just a thought in my head or maybe this was just some bad inclination. Change that to God speaks to me and this is from his word. What does he want to do with this and how am I going to respond? And give us the grace to take that and ask, man, how can we include someone else from this community to follow you, Jesus, this week? We want to become more like you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. In the coming moments, we'll have two songs from the band here, and we're going to have a chance to worship and through song. I'll be down front if you want to pray with me, and I want to pray with you, and we'll have prayer ministers in the front and back
in the balcony as well. This is a chance for us to engage with God together, to talk with him throughout the day, to lean on community. So let's worship him together.